Well, good morning. We're glad you're here as we continue in this new morning series. We're doing 2nd, 3rd John. We just began the series Truth, Love, and Discernment in God's Community last Sunday. We're starting in 2nd John, which along with 3rd John are the shortest books in the New Testament. John is the elder, I believe, the only remaining of the apostles at that time. And as he writes to the elect lady, who I believe we said last week is a specific church John has ministered to. Some people think that this could be a specific lady and her family who were probably a part of one of these churches. So either way, the truths are the same. The principles about truth and love don't change. But this elect lady is probably symbolic for the church as a whole, as the apostle seeks to encourage and fortify these Christians right off the bat of the letter. Also, John will say that some are walking in the truth in Christ, and he wants to reinforce this, reminding them of their identity, the ones that are, right, as God's children. But there were some, it seems, that had strayed away. He's certainly trying to connect with them early on. And 2 John will aim to clarify the importance of the gospel and the truth, right? We're seeing that. We believe in Christ in this truth, and that's how we're saved, that's how we're changed, and how we grow. And love comes out of that together. 1 John, we know that first letter many of us have read, it's a longer one. It gives a lot more theological depth, but it's the background for these two shorter letters. It deals with Christian assurance that's clarified in three tests. If you read 1 John sometime, the belief test, that we believe in Christ, you know you're a Christian. He's the Son of God. The obedience test, you obey God's command, and then the love test. That'll show certainly in love together. Now, 2 John especially is a follow-up letter to 1 John, as 3 John's going to deal with more relational issues, specific issues, hospitality, things they were dealing with. 2 John, we're seeing, is short, but when you grasp the underlying truths there in that situation, there's a powerful punch there. Now, 1 to 3 are the greetings we saw last Sunday. 4 to 11, the body of the letter we get into today. And 12 to 13, very short letter. One chapter, it gives the challenge, the closing remarks. Now, last Sunday, John reminded them that we begin in the truth. He is the elder writing to this lady, the church, probably a specific church. They had begun in the truth and they must continue. Then he reminded them that all who know the truth in Christ are brought into an eternal bond, right, through that knowledge of God that we know in Christ and believe in Christ. John said, I love you in truth last week, we saw. Not just with sincerity, but the fact that out of that love together that we have in Christ, that's where that love is together. It's tied together in the truth and faith we have together in Christ. So if we really know Christ in truth, John said last week, it'll change how we live, how we love one another. John said, then we build on that truth, because the truth is not just morality, but the truth is from God. And it's revealed in Jesus, Jesus who is the truth, right? He lives in us by the truth, and that abides forever, John said. That goes to eternity. So this is why John said, grace, mercy, and peace in that greeting will be with you by God the Father and God the Son together, Jesus, in truth and love. So John called for a balance of truth and love, to know that the truth, number one, defines love. Love is not, as the world says, right, and even Christians think, well, it's just whatever, right? You know, just love. All we need is love, right? Somebody sang one time. But love has parameters. Can't be like a car without a good braking system if it's going to be right. And too many today, right, love is just a feeling, even in churches today. Just, you know, it's unloving for us to say as Christians that people are doing anything wrong, or that to challenge anyone in anything that's said or done inside or outside the church. But the reality is, love must work together in the gospel truth. And the truth is in God, in Christ, in the gospel, in God's Father and the Son. And now it's in the church, in God's people. John says if we're living in truth, it will have God's grace, mercy, and peace that results from that at the center. The favor of God to us in Christ, the compassion of God we experience, the overall peace we know in Him will be shown more and more together. We'll express it together in the church body. So objectively, we have God's love given in the gospel truth. in Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace come from God the Father and the Son. And grace, mercy, and peace are from the Son of the Father, or in Him. The one who is God, who came in the flesh. That's the truth. He came in God's love to save us. So, objectively, that's true. Subjectively, we then grow in the experience of God's love together in grace, mercy, and peace as we change, as we grow. But it's always checked in the reality of the truth in the gospel. It's not just a random idea of love. And truth must balance with love. We can't become harsh and legalistic, right, about things. And truth has to come from a heart change to really bring a true love. And so those things, truth and love, as John opens up this letter, they work together. Love can become wishy-washy, we know, but it can go the other way too, where it becomes harsh. But a lot of times churches have fallen into the wishy-washy problem that God just loves everybody no matter what, and it doesn't matter how we live, and just leave people alone and let them do what they want to do. But love has a foundation. The grace, mercy, and peace in Christ is always in truth and love together. It's not one or the other. It's those together. In a way, they're two sides of the same coin. John's going to get into the body of this letter. He's going to pick up on those tests from 1 John, right? In a sense, allude to them at least, of truth and belief and commandments and obedience and love. And in a way, John's saying they're all the same in a way. They're different, but they are so interconnected, those things. And when you're in Christ, if you're walking in Christ in love, you're going to be walking in the truth. And truth, then you're walking in love. If you're walking in love, really, then you're going to be obeying God's commands, which is in the truth. If you're living in the truth, you're living in obedience, which is the summary, in love, of what love is. Christian love. So 4-6, John is going to deal today with the internal fortification he wants to see happen for those in the church who are walking in love, walking in the truth, and to correct those who aren't. Next week, 7-11, he will deal with external problems, aiming to protect us from outward attacks of false ideas that come against that. So to help Christians to grow in the gospel truth and real love in Christ, John is aiming to strengthen us inside and prepare us from outside attacks. John is aiming to ground the church in love and truth in Christ and to equip us to be discerning as we deal with things that go against that, that are the opposite of what God wants to do. So if you want to categorize last Sunday and this Sunday, last Sunday was a little bit more about the truth in a way that defines love. This Sunday is a little bit more about the love and obedience that's at the heart of walking in the truth. If we're living in the truth that's in Christ, believing in Jesus, then we will be growing to love one another. But the question we see this week is, what does that look like? 1 John 2:23, this is the testimony, he says there, that you believe in Christ, who's incarnate, and you love one another. So there's truth. Last week, right, that indwells us, changes us. Love seen in obedience this week to God's command and commands. We'll see that. And then next week, learning. And the final part, to discern. So these are divine priorities we're called to develop in our lives and in the church. So we're going to see some principles this morning. We learn in 4-6. About the priority of God's love working amongst us as we grow together in the gospel truth. How are we motivated by that love that's in the truth? Encouraged by that love? Empowered and changed and challenged by that love that's in the truth? What do we learn about true love that flows from faith in the gospel truth and living in that truth? And then what makes up that walk of truth? So last week, 1-3, you might have noticed the word truth is used 4 times, I think, in those few verses. 4-6, we see, yes, it's talking about truth as well. They work together, but it's love here is mentioned. And also command or commands. Do you see that? Which is what makes up love. So we're going to see love has the truth at its heart, which is defined by commands. Jesus said, remember, if you love me, Jesus said, you will obey my commands. So John's going to start with praise. He's going to point to promises. He's going to show the pattern of love, the purpose of love, and then call us finally in that last bit, persistence in this truth and in love, to walk in love. Number one, deepen. Verse 4, look at this, the praise that we see with John. Excuse me, pretty well-known verse in this book, if we're a Christian. Verse 4, that we rejoice, that we praise, that we deepen. The first priority to develop as we grow in gospel truth and resulting gospel love in the church, growing to truly experience and express God's love together in the church, is verse 4. That's deepen. That's the praise. So the first priority is to deepen in a joy that John shows us is in this gospel truth and the love that comes out of that. And first we see John the apostle, this elderly man, the elder, the last apostle, right? Wise believer, nearing the end. He is so filled with joy. And why? Because of the depth of understanding, I believe, this elder, of course, had in the gospel. That he had such a depth of growth and knowing the importance of the truth and what he saw in these Christians that he met. Again, the elect lady here, as I said last week, is probably a specific local church, I believe. There's differing opinion. Not a specific lady. It may have been too, as in 3 John, we'll see, he had received word about these Christians' lives. But I believe, more than likely, these Christians he's talking about had visited John where he was, and now whoever these Christians were he's talking about, John has seen their lives firsthand, and they're going back, I believe, with this letter to this church to encourage them, to take this letter to the elect lady, this church. So John's saying, I've seen that some are walking in the truth. This gospel truth that changes it. And John's full of joy. The point is not so much about the fact that, yeah, there seem to be some, as scholars say, who weren't walking in the truth. That's implied here, yes. And John does deal with false teaching next week, we'll see. But the positive focus here, it seems, makes it more likely that John is emphasizing how these believers that he has seen up close and met are really walking in the gospel truth as we're called to. David Jackman said, John's greatest joy is to find Christian disciples that are continuing steadfastly in the truth of the gospel. Children of God demonstrating the family likeness. See, the truth, as we said last week, John said, lives in us. But it is still our duty, as one man said, to walk in it. The truth of God revealed, someone said, primarily in God's living word and Jesus, and recorded in the written word, gives us the route by which we travel as Christians from this world to heaven. It's the road map. There is no other way. Someone said, you can't reach north by going west. If we want to continue on in this journey, it is in the truth that John saw these believers were walking in, and it gave him great joy. So based on verses 1 to 3 last week, remember, these Christians he met, they were the real deal. They knew the truth in Jesus, and because they knew that truth and believed it, they were loving one another deeply and growing in obedience in love. And it was evident that the truth was real in their life as the Spirit was working in them. And John is overjoyed by this because, as someone said, to walk in the truth is to believe in Christ as God's Son and then to love as a result of that. John said that in 1 John. There's belief, and then there's behavior. So they were living out of the reality of the truth of Christ, united together in love. They belonged together in the truth. They were building on that truth alone, balancing truth and love. They knew and believed in the Son of the Father who came in the flesh, and they lived their lives in humility as a result of that. And honesty and sincerity. And the point in this again, John is overjoyed because he's experienced what God's doing with them firsthand, I believe. His heart is full of praise to God, deep joy, because these children are maturing in the truth. At the heart of growing together in the body of Christ, folks, I believe the principle in that love together in the church community is this joy that we grow to experience in what the truth does in changing our lives in love, but the lives of those that are around us. Think about it for you as a parent, when you were a parent, or if you are one now, when your children really do something to act in the right way, or when your children really love one another, even when they're adults later, and they forgive, and they work out differences, and they do what you just, or it blows you away sometimes. Maybe you're just so full of joy as an earthly parent, aren't you? At what they do. Think about how much more that is for God when it comes to His children, when they're walking in the truth. John's saying, I'm getting a bit of a taste of that. I'm expressing that to you. And he wants those other Christians to know that joy that is in walking in the truth. Truth lives in us. Truth unites us in Christ. Truth impacts us. He's full of joy because they're walking in the truth. Truth is not just something we believe. It's a behavior that comes from it. It's a lifestyle that we continue in. Warren Wiersbe said, we must not only learn the truth with our minds, but we must love the truth in our hearts and live it by our wills, being yielded to truth. So they're not just learning and talking about the truth. He can see the reality of the behavior, the change. That's why John is so full of joy. So to receive the commandment from the Father meant they had heard that command when they believed. And they heard from God to believe in Jesus. It came through Jesus. And to love one another. And they believed it. They took it as a commandment from the Father that came through Jesus. And they were walking in truth still. Walking in truth refers to us acting out of, one man said, the truth that we believe in Christ, just as the Father had commanded. So people will say, you know, well, you can't command a feeling. You can't command love. You can't command a feeling, but love's not ultimately a feeling. And responding to the gospel of Christ is ultimately responding to God's command to believe in Jesus Christ and love one another and live in light of that. So obeying the Father's command meant walking in the truth, which meant walking in love together. And there was a joy in that. Someone said love is not a feeling, but a way of life that manifests itself concretely in our concern together for one another. The point is we base our lives on our walk together in the truth, our belief. This is what we ought to aim for. This is what we ought to encourage in one another. Is our deepest joy in walking in the truth? Do we encourage our leaders in that? Do they get great joy in seeing us walk in the truth? What is most important for you in the church when it comes to other people's lives? Are you encouraging them to walk in the truth? Do they know that's your greatest joy? To be walking together in the truth of the gospel. That leads me to number two. Excuse me. That's depend. Look at 5a to b. Recall the promises. The second priority here to develop as we grow gospel truth resulting love in the church, growing to experience and express God's love, is 5a. If you look there in b. The first priority, remember, is to rejoice, to deepen in real joy that comes from God's children that are walking deeply in the truth. The second priority is to recall. And in that, to depend on Christ and the promises of God, to live in that truth and love. As we focus on the promises that God gives in the Word and in the gospel to do this. I believe this is what John is getting at in verse 5a, when he says, and now. Do you see that? In the Greek, this is emphatic here, and now. It means this, because you are walking in the truth, and I've seen it in at least some of you, there's a joy in that because that's consistently occurring. Because you're walking in gospel truth and it's changing you, uniting you. And now, he's saying, I plead with you passionately. If you are walking in the truth, you know the truth in Christ, most certainly you will know the truth at the heart of that truth. which is the commandment in the singular here in Greek, to love. The God who calls us to believe, one man said, is also the God who calls us to love. Can't separate them. We're to remember and practice that commandment laid on every believer at the outset of our spiritual experience, one man said, that we love one another. That is the great biblical priority, isn't it? That's connected to the truth. It's at the heart of the gospel when we first believe. And John is seeming to transition here in a way from truth to love, though certainly they go hand to hand. And John is circular, if you know much about his letters. In his reasoning, he blends truth and love and obedience, as I mentioned earlier, in all of this. He says, church, elect lady, now that you know the truth in Jesus, now that you believe in him, I know that, you're walking with him, focus on this commandment. And of course, John is using the singular in Greek here, commandment. He'll switch around from singular to plural in these verses. But he's talking, of course, about the summary of the law that Jesus said and Paul said, which is love, right? In the Old Testament, God even, we know, from the beginning told them to love the Lord with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. This is not new in any sense of the word in that way, right? It's all through the Bible. So in that sense, the commandment, when he says it's not new, the commandment to believe in Christ in a way and love each other, it goes back to the beginning of God's plan from all time, right? To his people. But here in 2 John, where they are in history, I believe John's main focus here is that this commandment is not new because it is the one they had believed, as we do, when they years before had trusted in Jesus and knew of his love and in that committed to love one another as Jesus had said they would. What John is pointing to here is back to when they first believed the gospel. They heard the truth that's in Jesus Christ. They knew of his great love for them and their sin and his salvation. And they were filled with his love. And they knew that commandment Jesus had said, that you'll love one another as I have loved you. And they believed. And they've lost touch with that to some level, perhaps. Marshall said Jesus gave his command to love. And 1 John even pictures this love as a new command initiated by the coming of Jesus. Now the point is, in 2 John, time has passed now. They were familiar with that command. Sure, yes, love one another. But it would be easy to take it for granted, right? To say we'll move on to other things. But they lost sight of how valuable, central this command is at the heart of the truth. Walking in love. Familiarity, as we often say, right? It breeds contempt, or it can. Perhaps they were listening to false teaching, right? To, you know, go to other things and lost sight of what it means to trust Christ, the simple gospel, and to live in light of that. And they're saying, oh, yes, we love each other. But they weren't trusting in Christ. They weren't practically loving one another. They weren't obeying God's specific commands. And John is saying, recall the start. Remember what it means to believe in Jesus. When you knew his love, it always means to grow in love for him, but also love for one another. I believe John is also alluding back to and pointing to the disciples with Jesus in the upper room. You remember? John is probably alluding to this when Jesus, before he faced the cross, he washed the disciples' feet. He said, a new commandment I give you. Love each other as I have loved you. As I have so loved you because of the love I've given to you. Love one another. Jesus had said, he wasn't saying then in John 13, it's new because they never heard about loving one another. No, it's Deuteronomy, etc. in the Old Testament. No, because Jesus came to infuse the command with a whole new purpose and power and life through his coming to do his work. Give us a whole new understanding of God's love. To be the ultimate example of that love and to die for our sin, to give us that love, to save us from our sin, to give us his spirit that we'll be empowered to live in a whole new way together in God's love. Wiersbe said Jesus gave a new emphasis to brotherly love and he exemplified that in his own life, but he also gives us a new experience in love as we rely on the Spirit living in us. So, when they believed the truth in Christ, they knew this new commandment of Jesus back in the beginning of their faith, and that reality, that was going back to the beginning of when they trusted Christ. They needed to remember that. It wasn't new in that sense. But the principle I want you to see underlying this, I think, is the promises of God that are in the gospel truth and the love of Christ and the truth. The application is to daily, as Christians, depend on Christ's power that forgives us, that changes us, that's given us a new love, a new nature, so we'll walk in His truth, continuing to grow in one another. As He says, love one another. The point is this. This is the very heart of God, who He is. God's plan from the beginning in the Old Testament, and Jesus came to fulfill this in the New, so that His command to love becomes a promise for those of us in Christ. Yes, we have to walk in truth, but as we do, we're to wait on the Lord. We trust in Him. We rely on Him. It's like John is saying, in view of you walking in the truth, think about this. The joy that's in this. Think about how Christ is working in you. What He's done through the years as you walk in the truth. This love has been at work in your life through all these years, from the beginning of your faith. Continue in Him. Don't turn away from this. Don't be distracted from other things, with other things. When we struggle, as we will at times, with loving other Christians next to us, loving Christians we know in the community, even non-Christians here, right? But when it's hard to love, we don't feel we have the strength to love. We feel other people are just hard to deal with, and we don't have it in us. We feel weak in love, unable to really love as we should. We need to always go back, of course, daily, and recall the promises of God. Recall the cross and what Jesus did for us. Someone said, how do we increase our capacity to love God and love others? Of course, 1 John says, we love because He first loved us. We keep going back in the truth of God's Word to the cross to soak in all that is there of God's being and character and all He's done for us in Jesus Christ. We keep going back to the cross where Jesus showed His love most clearly and recall the Son of God, as Paul said, laid down His life for me in love, gave Himself for me on the cross. We feed our hearts with that. Like medicine 3 times a day. Sometimes we have to go make sure we're taking it every day. Going back, reading those scriptures, reflecting on that love of God that never changes, like we read in Jeremiah 31. I have loved you with an everlasting love and drawn you with kindness. Let's look at number 3 here. That's develop. Look at 5C. Develop, reciprocate. Look at this pattern here. The third priority to develop as we grow in gospel truth and love together, expressing God's love, experiencing it, is 5C. So there's a rejoicing, there's a recalling, there's then a reaching out. There's a pattern that comes in the body of Christ. Of course, it affects the outside as well, but a reciprocal pattern of love. John has said, I plead with you, church, elect lady. I ask that we love one another. And notice a few things with this. I love this. Number one, John includes himself in this. We love one another. No matter how old John is, he's the last apostle. He's elderly. He's getting near the end. That we love one another. He realizes he still needs to grow in loving. He's not outside of the. He's in the boat with them. We all are, aren't we? We all need to keep growing. And there's something powerful, I believe, about a model of love, an encouragement of love and humility from those especially who have earned it, if you want to say it, who we respect, those we look around and we see God working in their life and they're humble, they desire to grow. The impact there. Also, the word for love here is agapomian. It's the verb here. It's in the continuous tense. It's a continual expression of love together. He's saying, don't stop growing, keep growing. And when you tie that to the fact that he seems to allude back to Jesus' words on the night before he died, it increases the force of it. Because It's a passionate plea for them in light of the truth of the gospel, in light of where when Christ gave that commandment to love one another before the cross. John is aiming for their hearts, asking them. He says, I ask you as an elder, in view of the gospel truth, to love one another, in view of Jesus who died. See, walking in truth, as we grow in humility in the gospel, it's always going to go hand in hand if we're going to walk together in love. Can't have one without the other. What John is calling for is a developing of love here, right? A reciprocation of love together. That we each reach out, and there's a pattern that grows as we do that. We develop. And what does the pattern look like? What is that practical love about? Well, Christians, we grow. We have to keep going back to this, don't we? Keep asking God to help us. I know it sounds simple in a way, but we have to keep being renewed in this and make sure it's grounded in the truth. But it involves practical caring, right? Sympathy, getting close to one another, listening to one another. John talks about in 1 John 3, it involves practical, costly, sacrificial things. 1 John 3, John calls us to give up our material goods if we need to, right? Don't just love in word, right, and talk. He says talk is cheap. He says love in truth and deed. 1 John 3. We could think of the early church in Acts, right? How they gave up different things to help one another. They were growing together in the gospel. Romans 12 gives us different ideas of this, right? You could look that up sometime. We're to honor one another, right? Associate with the lowly. Weep with the weeping. Rejoice with the rejoicing. Forgive. Show kindness. There are literally hundreds in the New Testament of each other's and one another's. Love one another. Love each other. You could see all that. Accepting one another. Listening to one another. Giving. But what John is pointing to is the pattern of Christ's love that grows in the church. It's like the lady I read about years ago. I like the story. She was going to get a divorce from her husband. And the lawyer said, I want you to go home first. He was not nice. But he said, go home, treat him like a king. Sacrifice, do all these things for him. Treat him like a king. Then come back and we'll give him the divorce papers. It'll really hit him, you know. Well, she went home. She might have been a Christian, I don't know. But she went home, she did what the lawyer said. She sacrificed, she gave for him. She did all this stuff for him. Waited on him hand and foot. She came back with the lawyer's office and she said, I want to cancel the divorce. We've fallen back in love together. Why? The point of the story is that she didn't feel that love before. But it was actually through, maybe it would take more than a month, but actually through actions of sacrifice and choosing to love, that feelings came back. We cannot command love in a sense. It does have emotion. But love for Christians, we know love is primarily an action of commitment based in the truth of the gospel, in God's choice and His love for us in Christ. And out of that, we choose to act. This love doesn't begin with the emotions as much as with the will, one man said. So the mark of Christian authenticity, someone said, is to make over and over the conscious decision of the will to give ourselves away in view of the truth of God's love in Christ, to give ourselves away in love towards one another. And then we grow in deeper affection for one another in the church family. And we have to keep doing this, don't we? Be renewed in this. And out of the truth we walk in and the commandment to love we've heard from the beginning, and out of the love of the Savior we rely on, Jesus, the one who died for us and gave his life for us, we act in those practical, sacrificial ways where we grow in love and we show love. And the truth is, when we're doing that, which we're doing what love is, which is sacrifice. It's choice in view of the truth of God's love in Christ. And when we do that, it's very hard for us not to grow as Christians together in an affection with one another. In, I guess you'd say, the feeling part. But we ultimately show it. It will happen. As someone said, it's difficult not to care for others and be conscious for their needs without growing in feelings of sympathy and compassion. It's very hard for it not to happen. And many people will think even Christian love is a feeling, you know? It's some sort of special or religious emotion that Christians have, you know, that I don't have. And it, yes, he gives us the power to do it, but at the end of the day, it is still a choice, isn't it? At the heart of it is a choice as we live in light of the truth of God's love in Christ. And we seek to treat others as they want to be, as we want to be treated. We seek to give and sacrifice when it's difficult. And look, folks, if we follow our feelings, which is easy to do, we're going to tend to want to fight back. But God's love in Christ works in us to act God's way more and more, to be kind, to pray for them, to serve even when it's hard and difficult. Walking in the truth of Christ and our grace in Him, or His grace to us, that's what changes us, so that we begin to act more and more the way Jesus would act towards them. To think like Jesus does, to act like Jesus would in love. And in the church family, when you're around those people, like you see with John here, showing them this example, right? Modeling that, it's going to point people to Christ. It's going to tend to be contagious. As we walk in the truth with those who do so, and we do it, but yes, we're going to tend to want to walk in love. It's going to catch. And when there are Johns who say, I ask you, who challenge us, but they do it out of humility, and they point us to Christ and His love, God uses that. And when they see that we're willing to participate in it as well, like John was, that we love one another. So John's saying, hey, if you're Christians, you're in the church, you have this love in Christ, but keep growing in it. Then affections grow. Strength of that fellowship grows. Number four, look at this, define. Purpose in 6a. The fourth one here we'll see is that we're going to, as we grow in the gospel truth and love, is 6a. So he's challenged us to love based on the truth, right? The promise to do it. He defines this love in 6a. Calls us to reflect. So we've seen a deepening in love, depending on God's love, a developing in love. But then there's a clarity to this love that we need to see here. Here is the purpose of this love, I believe. He's making the point in this one verse, part of a verse, that as we live in the truth and live in this love, we together reflect God's character. In view of our goal, we know to glorify God, right? As we live and love in the truth, we are to reflect on God's definition of love here, which at its heart is to reflect His character. You see this? Look at 6 here. A. This is love. See what he does here? This is love. That we walk according to His commandments. In the plural. You see that? John said, I asked you before, now that you walk in the truth, walk in love, because the commandment is not new. You've been given power to love from the beginning of your faith. So I ask you together, love one another. Stretch out in love. That's the pattern to develop. But here's the purpose. In other words, again, we don't decide what love is. Oh, all you need is love. This is love. In 1 John, he said, this is love, right? Not that we love God, but He loved us and gave His Son as an atoning sacrifice. This is love, that we obey God's commands. Love one another. 1 John tells us that true love will be seen in belief in Christ and faith, but also in obedience to God's commands. But this will not be separate from loving one another. Hear me out on this. It is impossible, as one man said, to divorce our relation with God from our relation to others. 1 John says, if we say we love God but we hate our brother, can we be sure the love of God is in us? If we obey God and then, he says, if we obey God, His love is perfected in us and we have no problem then loving our brothers and sisters. So 2 John has that as a background, remember? He's saying there here, this is love, that we walk according to God's commandments. And again, he uses the plural for command here. He's going to go back to the singular in the next part of the verse. Commandment. But already in these verses, he is overjoyed, right? These Christians heard the gospel from the beginning. They received it as commandment from God the Father. John reminded them of a commandment that sums up the law, right? The commandment to love. It's not new. You've got power to live it out. But 6a, John is bringing light into what this love really involves. Why plural? Why commands? Why not just say again, it's all in love, right? It all sums up the law. Command. But he says commands. Why? Well, verse 4, he's again telling them the beginning. They received it as a command. Verse 5, he gives that summary, right, of a commandment. 6a, he's giving us definition. This is love. The commandments of God. Obey the commandments. Someone said the command is that we love one another. That sums it all up. Yes. But this is the detailed requirements of what that is. What it means is all of the law. Now you have to understand different parts of the law. We won't get into all of that, of how we view the Old Testament law. But every moral command, the Big Ten especially, but all of them, they matter. And all of them have at their heart and core the character of God, which is love. John insists that someone said loving one another is seen in obedience to commands because that unfolds the nature of what love is. It's not wishy-washy, nilly-nally, whatever trail we want to go on. It may be that some of them, again, I think they had heard false teaching. They'd said, oh yeah, we love each other, but they weren't obeying God's commands. And it didn't line up. So, yes, to simplify, we love because he first loved us. That commandment Jesus gave. Paul said in Romans 13, the summary of the law, right, is in that, the word love, right? So, if you're a Christian, and when, you know, the Spirit empowers us to love, and we love God out of that, and from that we love others, and the Spirit's changing us, if we really are growing in loving others, it's going to fulfill the law. Galatians says, against these things there is no law. But the reality is, folks, if we're walking in the truth and walking in love for one another, it will be seen as a walk according to the plural commandments of God. Marshall said, Paul's point is to show that all the commands issue out of love and can be regarded as expressions of love. John's point seems to be to say love must issue in various detailed types of actions if we're growing in love. Every bit of God's law reveals God's character of love in some way to us as Christians. That means as we walk in obedience to his commands, we're really growing to express God's character. Yes, it is crucial that we are doing this out of a humility and a faith and love for God. It's not just external rule keeping, I know. And John says in 1 John 5, we obey his commands. They're not burdensome. There's a joy in them. If you're a true believer, you know that the more you know God's truth and his commands and law, it points to God. It reveals his heart of love for us and those around us. There's a joy in that. So yes, true love summarizes the law. Yes, as we love, we live out the law. But it is also true, as we walk in truth, we walk in love, which means obedience to his commandments. In many areas, we obey in those various areas, and real love that's God's is expressed. His character. Jesus said again, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. So, to show love to God means obedience to God's commands, and the similar thing comes out in our relationship with one another. If to love Jesus means obeying his commands, then loving his people will mean living in a way that shows love to the people of God and others the way that pleases God, in obedience to commands. If we love someone, we know we want to please them, right? That's how we know we love God. We want to please him. We want to obey him. So to truly love others, we want to love God, right, as we then love them. And that means we love them by obeying God's commands. We only love God ultimately, yes, as we love others through obedience. But we love others rightly as we reflect God's purpose in the love we reflect as we love them? Through obeying the commands of God. That's how we love others. This is walking in the truth as we walk in love. It's interesting. When Jesus was asked which commandment, singular, was most important, remember what Jesus did? How did he respond? Just love God. No. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? Yes, number one. But love your neighbor as yourself. They asked for one. He gave them the two. Because you can't love God without loving others. If you're going to really love others, you've got to love the way God wants to, obeying demands. And now we'll close with this, determined briefly. Look at what he says here in 6b. That the priority we develop, I believe, here is determination as God works in us. We have to keep persisting, keep repeating. This is the commandment that, as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. There's been discussion about the it there. But I think it's to walk in the truth, which has love at the heart of it. But he's summing it up again, this commandment. Walk in this. Continue in this. It's going to be a battle at times, yes. But you've got to keep walking in it. There's a persistence to this. And as we live in it, we can't just talk about it. Our goal has to be to go forward in Christ, to live in that reality, in God's truth in Christ, and keep moving ahead. And we'll grow in the truth, and we'll grow together in love in our churches and also in our Christian families and other friendships and relationships as we show the world, as God does, the truth about Christ. As He works through us. So there's determination, as the Spirit has to do that work in us. But we're to live in it, walk in it, the truth that has God's love in Jesus Christ together at the heart of it. Let's turn to the Lord in the closing prayer as we finish this morning. Gracious Lord, we come before you. We thank you for your word. Thank you for the strength, Lord, to deliver your word today. Pray for your grace and blessing, Lord, on each one here today, that they'll grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And Lord, I pray that we'll continue to grow in that truth in Christ and your love, Lord, that the world will see the difference that there is in Jesus alone. And we pray in his name. Amen. Amen. Well,